Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just after that quote, gotta love Tez Johnson of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Baker, kind of doesn't matter who the receivers are. He's going to find a way to get it done. We'll find out on Monday night if that is still the case. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, BetMGMNetwork.com, also on YouTube and Twitch. We now bring into the show Director of Content for BetSperts, and he's one half of the Deep Dive podcast. His name, Andy Molitor, at Andy M. SFW. Andy, how you feeling, man?
Pretty good. It's full swing here. Got a couple of guys my age playing football tonight. It's gonna be a fun one.
Me too. Do you have a bet on the game tonight?
I mostly just took all the prop unders for the Bengals offensive players. I really am starting to feel the Steelers defense kind of rounding into form, and some of that is just me playing some good numbers on those, but I'm hoping we have another, you know, Yoshivas game where he doesn't get much. I'm hoping for Brown unders and receiving. So basically if there was a decent price on a Bengals prop under, I kind of have it in the account right now. So hoping for a kind of a Steelers blowout, I guess.
Okay. All right. There you go. We were just doing some Survivor, and Denver, New York Giants came up from the Survivor. We can get to Survivor as well. But we only talked about the Giants Broncos game from that perspective. What do you think about this game with, okay, now Dart, this is going to be a little bit different going on the road facing this defense. What is your play in Broncos Giants?
Finally bet the Giants this morning. I found a plus 7 at, I think, minus 103. Finally a cheap one. Had to add it. This is the biggest problem with doing the show with Drew on Wednesdays. I have these marginal plays, and I'm like, I don't mind this. I kind of like it. And then he talks about it for 3 minutes. I'm like, man, I'm all in. Like, you talk to me. When he agrees with something.
You mean 10 minutes.
Like, all right, well. Yeah, oh god, yeah. I do try to hustle him along once in a while. We only have two teams on bye. There's a lot of games to talk about this week, but I ended up playing that. A lot of it is just situational stuff with the where they're at, you know, with the return from the international game, and then New York coming off the extra rest. I don't know if it's maybe a letdown spot for New York. I hate that part of it, coming off the big divisional win, but I don't know if those two guys have enough brain cells between them for it to be a letdown. Like, I think they're just too dumb to fail. Those are my guys. So I want Dart to play a nice clean game. I got some Dart Rookie of the Year, you know, about a month ago. I want that guy to just stay healthy, keep it on the level, don't do anything silly. So yeah, I'd like to see the Giants, and maybe we haven't decided on Survivor yet. If we end up fading that team, I might even add some Giants money line just to really make it feel good when we knock out part of the Survivor pool with that one.
I'm curious where you had Buffalo going into the season in your numbers and where you have them now, because depending on who you ask, the season's over. They're not a top 10 team anymore. And any bet on Buffalo is a waste of money. Obviously it's never that simple, and the overreactions will always flow from different directions, but where did you have them early in the season and where do you have the Bills now?
So I got my week-by-week chart up. I had them tied for second in my power ratings in the first week of the season with Philly behind Baltimore. They bumped up a little after that first week, and then kind of a little bit of a fall ever since then. They're down to somewhere in the top 10. I mean, it's still a very good team. It just I can't rate them as high as I want to way that defense is playing right now. I know there's some injuries too, but the guys that are playing are just small. The tackling looks bad. I don't think you need to have some, you know, really high rated offense to go move and get yards on this team right now. There's a multitude of ways. And if you get to that second level and you're up against linebackers and safeties, they're too small and they're not tackling. They're not taking good angles. I mean, a lot of offenses are going to have success against this Buffalo team right now. And right now I have them sixth. Basically, they're Seattle to me, which is not where I thought I'd have them this point in the season.
Washington-Dallas, a divisional matchup, but projected as an absolute shootout. We'll see what this number closes at, but you know, we're talking north of 54 at this point. And you get it from the Dallas perspective with the way that they're scoring and Eberflus's defense, not much to speak of. We'll see how the Commanders bounce back after their Monday night loss to the Bears. What are you thinking, Washington against Dallas?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we get on the Terry McLaurin stuff today. These teams are cagey about some of these injuries, which is super annoying. But I went back to the well, and this is another one Drew and I talked about yesterday, was the Dallas team total over. Like, this is one of the best offenses in the league. Dak, you mentioned it off air. It's amazing how well he's playing. Like, the swings of good Dak versus injured Dak are just so big. And right now we have good Dak. We probably have CeeDee Lamb coming back. We can just do what we did in week one. Like, hey, what if you have a really bad cornerback, like the Eagles did, and we just spam CeeDee Lamb against you? He's going to end up with, you know, 10 catches for 150 yards. He dropped like three long catches in that one, still at a 100 yard game. So if he's back, I love it even more, obviously. And, you worry about some of these team totals when they're this high if a team gets out to a decent lead. I don't see Dallas ever getting out to a decent lead for the rest of the year again. Their defense is so bad. It's just, hey, top three offense, bottom three defense. I love a team total for a team like that, because they're just not going to have a game where they're winning by margin and they can slow it down and run the ball at all.
Dallas is missing something. I can't tell what it is on defense. There's something just a little off there. I don't know what that piece is that they traded to Green Bay. It's weird. New England, Tennessee. Do you have a move in this one?
Oh, this is a gross one too, because it is the third straight road game for New England. That's tough. That's tough on teams, and it's a young quarterback having to do that. And he's, you know, coming off another nice game. I guess it depends where you have your Drake May number. If you are a May believer, which I'm starting to come around on, I think he probably absolutely should be in this MVP conversation. I'm pretty much on market with this one. This total's coming way down, and you know, there's so many extenuating factors with the firing. Like, are you a big, I'm betting on the coach bounce back, interim coach bump thing every time? Because I hate Mike McCoy. I don't think he's any good. I have terrible memories of him in the last couple of years. It was actually San Diego then. They weren't even in Los Angeles yet. I'm not a fan of that for the interim bump. Some of the interim bump is just, hey, we got rid of the guy that we all hated, and now we're all in a better mood. It's like when the coworker nobody liked quits. Like, hey, everybody, maybe we'll have cake today. I don't know. No reason. It's not even someone's birthday. But getting rid of Callahan, that's a positive. Losing his dad, certainly a negative. I don't think that offensive line is going to forget how to play overnight, but long-term a negative. So I'm looking pretty strongly at New England for some Survivor stuff, but I probably won't play that game, side or total.
Yeah, I'm with you on Survivor. Like, that was our immediate reaction earlier in the week when we took a look. I'm like, this is the New England play. And, you know, it's certainly fair to think about next week. It looks like it's going to be tougher. We'll see what the quarterback situation is. But Andy, I'm kind of looking at next week, like Sam brought up, you know, Drake May's just not going to go roughshod through the league all year. Like, this is the third of three road games. What about next week? Cleveland, tough defense, at least. Maybe that's the stumbling block for New England, and you might want to make sure that you use them this week in Survivor.
Yeah, and that's the rub with Survivor. You got to look at future value too. And, you know, a big part of Kansas City's a huge favorite. You can use them. You can absolutely use them. But if you're in one of the bigger contests, like Circa, that has, you have to use Christmas, you have to use Thanksgiving, you have to start to use, you know, look at some of those teams that play on those holiday games. And Kansas City has some future value there, absolutely. And I mean, same thing with Green Bay and New England as far as the games that they have next week. You know, there's some future value too. This might be the toughest Survivor week so far. And I think some of it is just the pressure of the further you get in, the more it's like, all right, we made it past the first, whatever you want to call it, the slaughter week. Once you make it past the first slaughter week, then the pressure starts to build a little and you're like, ah, I can't make a stupid slip up here. And sometimes the slip up is just using the wrong team, surviving with a team that you absolutely needed later on. And that's where I'm struggling with, you know, Green Bay, Kansas City, New England right now.
Any other games you know you're going to bet or you already have?
I did bet Seattle. I like that one a lot. I bet that one right off the jump. I have a pretty high Seattle number. And depending how you feel about Houston, I guess there are some people that are a little closer to market, but that opened at a cheap 3, and I make that like 5 and change because I do like Seattle's defense quite a bit. Obviously, they have some injuries in the secondary. Once they get healthy, I think this is going to be a monster of a team. But I guess if I get bit by the Darnold regression against finally a good defense, such as life, Houston is coming off the bye, heading up to Seattle. It's a weird late game. This is going to be miserable for me if it's close because I'm going to be sweating my bet. And then also it's going to be like 11:30 at night, which is later than I like to stay up at my age for the most part. So hopefully we just see Darnold continue to make it happen. And as Drew mentioned yesterday, just Stingley and JSN, just the marquee matchup of the week.
Yep, it's awesome. Love Seattle. If you look at numbers at all, it's hard not to love Seattle. Just the balance that you see from this team. And you're getting the good Darnold. For everybody that questioned that, I questioned it. I thought, okay, changing scenes. He's getting away from Minnesota. We're not going to see the same guy. We're seeing the same guy. What is their ceiling? That's what I'm trying to figure out. In this NFC, with certain teams that you thought were going to be high, like Philadelphia, not looking great so far, what's the Seahawks ceiling?
Yeah, all the other NFC teams have some serious flaws, and I don't know. It depends where Green Bay's ceiling ends up, I guess, because right now I think they would be my pick if you said, price aside, just pick a team to win the NFC. But Seattle's right there, and I think their ceiling is going to the Super Bowl because I guess the secondary is not fully healthy, and the defense still looks good. If they can get it all together there and stop using, they did a better job of not using Walker. They have a better running back on the staff right now. So they're starting to figure it out. The OC change, that looks like a good thing. And you mentioned, the Darnold playing well. I think it's the KOC residuals. Danny Dimes is on the Vikings. Darnold is on the Vikings. That stuff, it carries over for another year, I guess.
Yeah.
So J.J. McCarthy money line on Monday or Sunday, rather.
Oh, he's playing?
I think it's going to be
Sounds
wins.
Like you might.
I don't know that. I think they're screwing with us a little with the subterfuge and the not really telling us, but he was limited. Wentz was kind of a full go. I think it's going to be Wentz for one more week, which I don't know. I don't have a big difference between the two guys right now. Wentz is a little more of a known quantity, I guess. If you want to fade the Eagles, I ain't going to stop you, though. The market certainly likes Minnesota.
But Wentz has been better, right?
Yeah.
And it's small sample, both of them, and you don't want to go too crazy, but maybe they're just more comfortable with Wentz right now.
And I think if it's a coin toss, like, hey, JJ could play, but I don't know if it's the right thing. I don't think their hand is forced, like, well, we got to get him in because we got just, a hot pile of garbage playing right now. Wentz has been good enough. And I don't know what the goals are this season. What's the Vikings ceiling? It's certainly not going to the Super Bowl this year with this roster. They don't have a good enough quarterback or an experienced quarterback. So I'd want to get more JJ. I'd want to see what I have in him, but they aren't going to rush it, I don't think, if he's still not 100%.
And here we are 2 months in. Ravens decimated, Burrow hurt, Bills can't tackle. Just lining up again for your Chiefs, buddy.
Yeah, I know. It feels like inevitable. It was fun, too. I had some Denver futures on – oh, Kelce, or one of the ones where you can, and it accrues value, where you can just like, hey, you can cash this out, which is unusual for me because I have to bet, in a state that doesn't have a lot of legal operators. And I saw my Denver number going up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, here we go. And then Kansas City starts playing well, and it just drops right back down. I'm like, oh, yeah, forgot about that team. And yeah, with if Rice looks good this week, geez.
Oh man.
It's just everything's gonna flip and it's just gonna be he's the MVP, they're the favorites to win the AFC. Here we go again. Give it another 10 weeks once they hit the playoffs and they really start to take it seriously. So death, taxes, and Mahomes.
Could be the best we've seen them look in the regular season this early in quite some time. Yeah. It certainly looks like it's shaping up that way. Andy Molitor, check out the Deep Dive Podcast, Director of Content over at BetSperts. Thank you, Andy. Best of luck with all your plays this weekend, all right?
Yeah, you guys too. Good luck.
Thanks, Andy. Good stuff there from Andy Molitor. Yeah, I wonder if they want to get McCarthy out there as soon as he's healthy. Or they're just like, oh, let's just take it a little bit slower. I'm curious about that.
We'll see.
I know you're JJ guy. I know. He's going to be fine. It'll be fine. Let's go to some college football plays. We'll go over our favorite bets for the weekend. Joe O, Sammy B, Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get some college football plays coming up. Don't forget, 10 toes down, top of the hour, 11 a.m. Eastern. We do that every Thursday here on Bet Sweats. Sam, in New York, you've got Bear Bets. You're recording that right after the show. Is that the plan?
12:15 Eastern. I can hear the big guy in the hallway. Uh-oh. I can hear him just waiting. I see him now.
No hockey sweater this week.
You got the O on, though.
Always. Always represents. Jeff always represents the Ducks, but no hockey sweater this week, Jeff. It was bad luck, I guess.
I did not wear it on a show last week.
That's you wore it on this show.
Yeah, that's why we lost. I didn't wear it on our show.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my. So next time I'm just going to wear the hockey sweater so we won't lose. That's the reason why. I'm sorry, Dan Lanning. It's my fault.
Man. Yeah, well, you got Kurt Cignetti a lot more money.
I did. I think James Franklin got him a lot more money. I don't know about we did. James Franklin got him money. Sammy's betting Rutgers this week. His favorite bet of the week, he told me. He wants us to – he said, actually, I hope you lose. That was rude of him.
That's not what I said.
Oh, yeah. So, no, he was going in depth. He's like, Rutgers is a play. This is the worst spot for Oregon team in college football. Yeah.
You know it's a bad
spot. It's a terrible spot. You lose a game, and you have to fly all the way to New Jersey to play a night game. Like, they're doing, like, a red out or something, a scarlet out. And they get an extra day of rest too. They played Friday, so you know we got a long trip out east, buddy.
Wait, are you taking the 17 in the hook?
No, I don't bet. I don't take the points with the team my team is playing against. That's weird to me. Like, yeah. To root for Oregon to only win by a certain amount of points. No, I don't do that.
Yeah,
you know what that means, though, Joe. If he's not, if he's not laying,
he's
it,
saying,
I,
yeah,
I would advise, he's saying. If I took my Oregon shirt off, I would advise Rutgers plus 17.5 is a good wager.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Oregon with a little bit of value after the loss, 12-1 for the title? Is there value there?
I think so. I mean, I'll tell you this, and everyone associated with the program will tell you this, 2025 was not our year to win a championship. It's next season. That's what they've been building for. I just don't know if we're good enough, even if we had beaten Indiana, to beat Ohio State. Like, again, the playoff is you have to win 3 or 4 games against the top 5 teams in the country. It is hard to do, man. I mean, that's only a few teams I think can actually do it, Ohio State being one of them. Miami is one of them as well. I'm not sure Indiana can win 3 games in a row like that. It's hard to do, man. You have to be great everywhere. You can't have a deficiency. If you will, someone will find it. And I don't know if Oregon is quite there ready to win that championship yet.
Who's taking the Penn State job? Yeah.
Oh, geez. I mean, they're probably going to offer. I mean, Rule's going to want it. I don't know if he's going to get it.
Shoving me out of the way here, Joe.
I just can't. I can't hold myself up anymore. I mean, they're going to offer. I think Rule's going to want it the most. I don't know if he's going to get it. Cignetti's not taking that job. Don't go. That's not going to happen. I feel very strongly about that. I don't know. There'll be a surprise name that we don't think about. The one that I guess circling now is Elko. Elko's the one that people are starting to bring up now. Is PA guy. Done a great job at A&M. You know, is he the guy for that job?
What do you think about Brady?
Oh, Joe Brady? Oh, this is the one. This is what Bear brought up. It's fine. He doesn't have really any experience. Like, I don't know if you want to go that role with that job where, you know, he wasn't even the play caller at LSU. He did a good job at LSU, and then he went, obviously, and went to the NFL. I mean, that would be a big first-time head coaching job for him.
What's your favorite bet? We want to document you.
Oh, please document me. It's so funny that documentation stuff is like, I give my record out, good or bad. Like, yeah. I give my record every week on everything I do. It's all documented. I think Penn State is dead. People I've talked to in the program say it's bad right now. Like, guys, they're broken. Guys are playing for draft stock. No one's really in this together. Now you have a guy making his first time start on the road to Iowa in a night game. I know that number is now 2.5. You can find 2.5s right now. I liked it when it was like, you know, pick 'em before Penn State lost the other day. I think Iowa, it's going to be ugly for Penn State.
Yeah, I think you're right, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks. Lunch is on you, by the way. You're buying lunch.
We're doing ramen
for lunch. Perfect. All right.
Oh, you are? You already decided?
Jeff Schwartz.
Does he always decide?
I picked tacos last night. So, no, he doesn't always dominate the situation. I picked the tacos last night. Did you see him just shove me out of the way, by the way? Just like,
well, I saw him dominate that situation. So I just figured.
I mean, he's 6'7". What do you want from me, Joe?
How many tacos do you think he consumed?
I got there first, and the line, it's one of these places with a line out the block, and then it wraps around the street. So I got there first, and I ended up just getting 14 tacos. And we split down the middle, believe it or not.
It was enough.
7 and 7, yeah, it was enough.
You guys were good after that? All right, yeah. Good.
I don't think anybody would have thought that we would have each had 7 if you would have just sized us up. But anyways, he agrees with Rutgers. Pay attention.
He basically said, I'm not betting it. You should bet it. That's basically what he said.
Yeah, he knows. Okay. He knows.
Yeah. No, I think it's a fair point what you guys bring up. And it's good because a lot of people are going to look at it and say, Oregon coming off the loss, we got to take Oregon. They're going to be super focused. Landon's going to have them ready for this game. But yeah, zoom out a little bit further. Like, this is a tough road for them in a bad spot. Location, all that. So the number's been going up this week, too.
It has. So it opened in Vegas. Let's see. Circa, I believe, opened at 15. No, 14 was the open. So the first bet they took moved it to 16. In 19 seconds, it moved from 14 to 16. Then it kind of hung around there for a little bit. It got as high. Circa got to 20. And now we're at 18 there. Anything north of 17 feels a little bit high. I think it should be 14. I think that's a very fair number. Let me tell you about a game that I haven't told you about. I think this might surprise you. So I was talking to some guys yesterday. I try and line up my phone calls starting on Wednesday, and then I'll have my phone calls after Bear Bets, where I just kind of talk to some guys that are very good at what they do. And one former bookmaker tells me Notre Dame is going to smash USC. Smash. His words, not mine. Yeah. So I came into this thinking, well, that's a big number. And when they opened it, it was around 7, 7.5. And now you look at the board, I believe it's mostly 9.5. Circa's at 10. And it's still, it's early in the week. Limits are starting to go up today, and they'll go up, of course, tomorrow and Saturday. But you realize the market is betting against USC, and that sort of lines up with what this guy says about Notre Dame. He also says Notre Dame in his power ratings right now is number 3 in the country. He says the offense is elite, and the defense has gotten better. Again, one man's opinion, just passing it along.
No, I mean, it makes sense why that number's going up. There's respected money on Notre Dame, on the home team. It goes from 7.5 to 9.5, and now we're probably touching double digits. To support that idea, USC is not the same team on the road. They haven't been. And I don't think Lincoln Riley's been the same guy. His teams haven't been as great on the road. Here's my question to that as a Notre Dame observer. So early in the year, oh, this Notre Dame defense stinks. They suck. Oh, their secondary is god-awful. And they had their struggles early on. Miami, Texas A&M, two of the better teams in the country, two of the better quarterbacks in the country. So that makes sense. We good now? Is that what people are saying? Are we good? Because I'm not willing to go there after Arkansas, Boise, and NC State. Okay, so they're not giving as much up, like only 7 points each of the last 2 weeks. So now we're going from their defense sucks against good competition, good offenses, to their defense is fine. They just need a little more time to gel. You got to look at the opponents too. Like, I'm not taking a stand at saying Notre Dame's defense is still bad. I lean when you have an opponent that does that can have that elite offense. I lean that direction a little bit. I think the last few weeks has been more about the opponent than Notre Dame's defense is suddenly strong.
I agree with you. I don't think this defense has been magically fixed, but their offense is so good that it puts a ton of pressure on the opposing teams. And if you can't go blow for blow with the Irish, you're going to get blown out. Now, We like Mayaba. I know you like him more than I do. You have some stock on him for Heisman. And look, to say that USC can't compete in this game is silly. But you also have to factor in, I have the story here from the Los Angeles Times, their top two running backs are out for USC.
Yep.
So now you're putting even more pressure. You know, you could, if you're ND, you can just prepare for the pass and make it more challenging for that offense. I think it's a bad spot. Situationally, Notre Dame, you know, you think they could probably get ahead first, get ahead early, and then maybe just take over. The total also keeps moving up too. I mean, we're 63 offshore, which says that both teams are going to tango, but that was something I heard yesterday. Also yesterday, I hate that it came out yesterday and didn't come out later today, but Sam Leavitt is definitely playing at Arizona State. Yeah. So he's the starting quarterback. He did not play the game before. When we got off the air yesterday, the number was 9.5, Texas Tech at Arizona State. That game is now 7.5, and there's a 7 at Circa, a 7 at Superbook. BetMGM still has 7.5, but Leavitt has sort of an issue with his foot. The rumor is it's an Achilles, but he's going to play. And they're saying like 85-90%, not 100, obviously, but that was a big move. This number opened north of 10, and now we're down to 7.5 on Arizona State.
I don't want to get past it without giving a play out, because we talked about USC Notre Dame a good bit. Like, what's the angle? The 9.5, the tens that we're probably going to see, it makes me think that it's there for a reason, and I understand it. I'll be hoping USC wins on some level because of the Heisman plays that I have. I still think the over hits. I know it's a high number. I still have questions about the Notre Dame defense. I don't have any questions about either offense. And Maeva is going to get his offensively, like he did against Illinois when he was north of 30 points. So I'm not scared off by that over, even though it is a very high number.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me see Kenny's number. Do you want to know what Kenny White's total is? This will make you happy. Take a guess how high it is.
Is he in the 70s?
72.
Whoa, damn. It's going to be fun
there
game,
you go.
Man.
If I had the bell here, I'd ring that for you. So he agrees with you.
Yep. Over is the play there. Talked about Oregon. Are you with Jeff on Penn State? He flat out said Penn State's dead. Go to Kinnick at night. It makes sense.
I wouldn't bet Penn State. I wouldn't.
No.
I understand there are some people that would look at the number on the look-ahead scale and see, oh, well, Penn State was a double-digit favorite, and now I get 3.5. that overcorrection is very telling. And I just don't know. I mean, clearly they'd quit to lose to UCLA and Northwestern. How does one possibly get there and like it? I get it if you want to plug and play. You know, if you're betting Penn State, you're just – you're accepting the mud that could be thrown right in your face. And I just – I don't want to live that life with that team.
I hear you. There's a few good SEC games this week. Any of those do you have an opinion on or something you think is worth mentioning?
I've been betting Bama a ton, and you know I've got Simpson for Heisman. Tennessee getting 8 is very interesting to me.
Yep.
I think that that's an offense that could go up and down the field. I'm a big Bama guy. They're third in my power ratings right now, but laying 8 to a hypo offense that could move the ball, that seems a little high. And then a couple wise guys I know bet Auburn against Missouri. So,
okay, Auburn against Missouri. My first thought was Tennessee on that, that it does seem high. And, you know, we saw Georgia against Georgia. Tennessee put, what is it, 40? There was like 44-41 in that game.
Should have won. Should have won the game.
Yeah.
Just couldn't make a field goal.
I think this is maybe you'll disagree. I think this is a tough spot for Bama. So since that bye, in 3 weeks, they go Georgia, Vanderbilt, a tougher game than you probably thought before the season. And then at Missouri last week, they end up pushing. They win, but a field goal game. Two of the last 3 weeks here, they've been field goal games. Like, now you get a fourth straight week where you have a challenging opponent.
I've got Tennessee, Notre Dame, Rutgers, and I do like Maryland. There's something to be said about a team like UCLA winning as a dog. Now you're favored. Now you're laying 3.5 at home in the Rose Bowl. There's not a lot of home field there. Maryland's not a bad look.
Okay, that's good. I'd like to spend a couple minutes on Ole Miss, Georgia, too, on the other side, because I think that's what we're talking about. I keep hearing, oh, Ole Miss, you know, look at what happened last week. Are you serious? They're going to be even on the same field? Like, let's slow down. We'll talk about that next. Joe O. Sammy P. Bet Sweats, Bet MGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got something special planned coming up in just a few moments. Joe O. Sammy P. Bet Sweats, Bet MGM Network, 10 toes down, top of the hour, 11:20 Eastern. We will get a book report from our buddy John Murray. Over at the Westgate, we'll find out where the sharp money is going, NFL and college football so far this week, and talk about some of that line movement. Should be a fun conversation. We always wrap with lightning bets. We'll do that in an hour from now. BetMGMNetwork.com. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe. BetMGM Network. Gertch always puts together a couple cool videos from each day that we think you'll find interesting. So make sure you're subscribed to BetMGM Network. All right, Sam. A couple games that I wanted to mention before we move on. SEC, Ole Miss, Georgia. The numbers gone through the 7. It's a 7.5. They're back in Georgia. They're looking at Ole Miss and saying they barely beat Washington State. They're not going to be able to hang between the hedges. It's not going to happen. Nobody wants to back Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin is calling Kirby Smart fat into the microphone. I love it. It's fun stuff. What do you think? Buy on deck for the Bulldogs, getting past 7 to 7.5.
I don't know. I could go either way, to be honest with you. I sort of lean to the under I think Mississippi is not as good as people think offensively. And also, this is, I believe, the first start for Trinidad Chambliss on the road in the FBS. That's pretty crazy to say that out loud, because, of course, he's the quarterback now with Austin Simmons to the wayside. Doesn't mean that they can't cover or win. I just think Georgia's figured some things out defensively. Did not bet the game to go through 7, though. You're right. To open 6.5 and now be sitting 7.5. That's not, you know, Marge Simpson betting that game. That's respected play. So I respect the respect. I'm not touching this one. I can't figure out which side you're on.
So did Austin Simmons just get Wally Pipped, or is that where we're at? Because he's not on the injury report now.
I think Lane just said, see ya. Because remember, there was that game when he was supposed to play, and then Lane took him off the injury report. I can't remember who they were playing. Was it South Carolina? I can't remember. And Simmons was supposed to play. And that injury report on Thursday, Lane took Simmons off it. That was when On3 had Simmons in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, in. And he didn't play. And from that point forward, Lane just kind of moved on.
He stole his job, right? I mean, people are talking about him for Heisman. It's what happened. You probably can't go back. I don't, even though Lane at the time was saying it's his job when he's healthy, right? That's what I remember.
Yes, he did say that. I could pull up the tip sheet and tell you exactly when it was and when it happened. So this would have been, I wrote about this on September 11th. Yeah, they played Arkansas. And Lane came out on Thursday night and took him off the injury list. And then he still didn't play. From that point forward, it's been, see you later. Bye.
Yeah. Okay, my first thought was Ole Miss plus 7.5. And the more and more I look at it, this is Georgia's toughest game left. They're just trying to push through this week. You know, they're super focused on it. Both teams are. But they got a bye week that's looming. I think we're going to see some extra focus out of Georgia. I understand why we got to 7.5 on that. And I'm not overreacting Washington State. I'm not. But that's a very fair point that you bring up about Chambliss, because that their only other road game was Kentucky week 2, and that's when the injury occurred. So I think the market is right on this. I'm not going to have a play. I was leaning Ole Miss at the start, and then a lot of this people that know a whole bunch about college football that we've had throughout the week, we've asked, hey, of all these teams here in the SEC, who's the fraud? They all said Ole Miss, everybody. So I'm back.
Ed Sammons at the Westgate says he makes the game 10. So I think, I mean, we haven't admitted this yet. I was looking to play the dog, and then saw the line move, and then talked to Ed and thought, nah, I'm good. You know, sometimes it's the bets we don't make, Joe.
That's kind of where I'm at with USC. If I make a bet on Monday, I probably would have taken USC. But now I'm like, no, I like the over more. Yeah. Sometimes it's good to get more information on that if you want to wait a little bit. Do you have anything on Vandy LSU? Vandy home favorite,
no.
-2.5? Nothing?
This is the first game in 51 games where Vandy is not an SEC dog, though. Isn't that crazy?
Amazing. That's an amazing nugget. And, yeah, it's going to close that way. So, it's...
Is Nussmeier hurt, or does he just stink? I don't know. I don't know.
I think he stinks. It's been how many weeks now, man? Has he been playing hurt for 6 weeks?
So somebody yesterday said that LSU is Penn State light. And I thought, that's interesting. All the expectations, top-tier quarterback, supposed to be a decent offense, and just not for whatever reason. Anybody looking to bet LSU, though, is looking at that defense against Pavia. So I understand there are some guys that tell me they're going to take 3 if it gets there. I see most books. BetMGM's 2.5. LSU, yeah, still no threes. Some guys would take three, though, they told me. But you know this open pick 'em in Vegas, and right away, bang, right to two. So take that for what it's worth.
Which quarterback do you trust the most in all of college football?
Carson Beck.
Oh, okay.
Still yeah, Carson Beck.
We did say Beck. But we both had Pavia near the top, and they're like, nah.
And they should have covered. Vandy definitely should have covered in that game, but it was the late turnover on downs and the Bama Anvil touchdown to cover late.
Yep. Yep. This is their first game since then. They had the bye last week, preparing for a couple of weeks. If anything, I would go to Vandy. I'm not betting LSU on this. Yeah, you're right. The offense you cannot trust at all. All right. There's something else that we wanted to bring up, and you came across this morning. Why don't you set it up?
Sure. Happy to set it up. So I don't know why this is a thing. We talked a lot last year when Herb Street's old dog passed away, and then he showed up to the set basically the following week with a brand new dog. And I remember thinking, wow, that was really fast. And let me also start by saying I'm a dog guy. I like dogs. Dogs actually love me. I like dogs. Dogs love me. Very strange. But Herb Street posted a video of him throwing a tennis ball in a hotel hallway. And his new dog, I believe his name is Peter, is racing up and down the hallway at max volume, tracking down the ball and running it back. And this is a long hotel hallway. I don't know how long they played fetch in a hotel hallway with the dog off the leash. I'm not anti-dog. I'm anti that move, though. That's a crazy move, is it not?
Oh, it's insane. Okay, so I have a golden retriever as well. And, you know, I'll make my jokes about it. Like, when Tucker had to have surgery a few weeks back, I was like, does he really need it? Let's see how this thing plays out. Or, once again, the wife was ranting because the lawn guy decided to leave the back gate open and Tucker was gone. And during the show, I found out later that she was running around the entire neighborhood like a madwoman. And then she eventually found him in someone else's backyard, just sitting at their back door, trying to play with their dogs there. I like dogs. I have a golden retriever. You send this video. I was like, what an insane move. Herb Street thinks he's such a superstar that he can do whatever the hell he wants. He's in the hallway of a hotel playing fetch with the dog, not at a dog park. Don't bother him to go find one of those in the hallway. And trust me, I know how big these dogs are. When they're running, they're loud. That thing is going up and down the hallway. They're really loud. It's ridiculous. And put your dog on a leash. I know golden retrievers are very lovable, and they just want people to pet them, and they want to hang out by people. I get it. But guess what? Not everybody in the hotel likes dogs. Maybe there are people allergic. You never know how your dog's going to react. I can't stand people that let their dog run wild off a leash and just think that they own the place. And like, does he have to travel everywhere with the dog? There's nobody. Doesn't he have like 17 boys at home or something like that? If somebody that can watch a dog, he's got a lot of money. He can't pay somebody. I don't know. I just think it's so ridiculous. Like, even my wife, who's dog crazy, loves our dog probably more than me. Definitely more than me. If I were to suggest, let's travel with him, which I've done at times as a joke, she's like, are you nuts? There's no way we're doing that. That's how most
people would
react. You're
not taking the dog off the leash to play fetch in the hotel hallway. Jake, we have some audio from the tweet. Can we rip that?
Sounds like a horse.
So he's whispering. Probably late at night. It's probably late at night or early in the morning because he's whispering.
Imagine somebody's parent or grandparent opening the door in the middle of the hallway, trying to walk to the elevator, and knocked this over. Dog is chasing after a ball.
Yeah, knocked over. A kid, a little kid, gets trampled easily.
No.
He thinks he runs a show. I can't stand him. I know too many people that have known him a long time, and he's not the nice guy that he puts on camera. Let's just say that.
Neither is Benetti.
Herb Street, Benetti, that's what I think of. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Bernianovich is not expecting that. Well, we are expecting 10 toes down next on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.